Welcome to NLP Talks with Laura Evans, a podcast for people looking to unleash their potential in business and life. I'm Laura Evans, international trainer of NLP and host for this podcast series. Join me for insightful interviews with people that know firsthand just how NLP can change lives, and they'll share with you tips and strategies to help you clear your path to success. Stay tuned. Hey, how are you doing? I hope you're safe and well. Welcome to another episode of the NLP Talks podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so glad you're here, and I can't wait to reveal yet another amazing episode. I am, of course, Laura Evans, and I am the founder and lead NLP trainer here at Unleash Your Potential, and of course, your host for this podcast. Now, today's guest is Jane Baker. Jane is a leadership coach and career strategist, and over the last 18 years, she's been running her own business in both the leadership and coaching space. More recently, she's been focusing on helping ambitious career professionals, senior leaders, and executives looking to not only necessarily move up in their career to bigger and better things, but also potentially to change careers. She's also been helping small business owners too. Now, in this episode, she's going to be talking about how she believes NLP is the little bit of magic which she has been able to sprinkle over the top of what she was already doing. She's going to talk about how she thinks NLP has really helped transform the career success that her clients have. Now, Jane is not your average career coach. She is way, way, way more than that. And I cannot wait for her to share with you how she helps people. It's full of nuggets this episode. Whether you are looking to change career, progress in your career, or perhaps you've recently been made redundant, I know there's going to be some things in here for you. Now, before we get started, I just want to make sure that you're aware that as a listener of our podcast, you can have access to some free training on NLP. Did you know that? Well, if you didn't, you do now. Just head on over to our website, www.unleashyourpotential.org.uk/free, and you can go and download right now some access to videos, training videos around imposter syndrome, presenting, motivation. There's loads of them there. So either now or at the end of the episode, go and fill your boots. The web address again is www.unleashyourpotential.org.uk/free. And then you can go and check that out. So let's cut across to Jane without further ado, where I asked her what drew her to NLP and let her explain to you that NLP came and found her just when she was starting to realize something was missing from what she was able to do with her coaching clients.
I was doing a lot of leadership ILM training for companies, doing a lot of teamwork, doing a lot of one-to-one coaching. And I always knew that there was something missing because, you know, using a GROW model, learning, you know, different things about leadership, which is all really well and good, but to actually make it happen and to make it get under the skin of people, there was something not quite working in that it was long term, and I really wanted something that was going to help me. And so, and I must be honest, when I first went on the practitioner course, I was thinking, oh well, I'll do this course and I'll get a load of sort of new little techniques to use and it'll be really good, and you know, and I can use these with my clients and way to go. What I didn't actually realize was that when I went on the program, that I would come out thinking very differently, thinking, oh my goodness, this has just changed everything about the model of my business, about what I want to do, about transformation around clients, getting really under their skin to really get them confidence and a self-belief that they can actually do what they need to do and be able to map that out for them to make it actually happen. So yeah, so you know, so I went on the practitioner course and did, I think it was really important that doing it for myself, I understood it completely, because it was just so different to a normal training program, because it was the best personal development that I could have ever done. And I, you know, ego big Jane going in, oh, I can do it, I'm a leadership coach and all of this. But actually, I came out with the thought process that, my goodness, this is so different and so useful for people. And I couldn't wait to get back out there and try it, which I did. And I've been having amazing results. And so forth. So after that, then I was like, well, I've got to do the master's now. So I'm in the middle of my master's, as you know.
It's exciting. It's like the halfway house for you right now, isn't it? It's like, yeah, week one of master's is done, and week two is next week.
Yeah.
By the time this episode actually hits our podcast, you'll have done it. So yeah, it'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. Go on.
I was going to say, just, you know, to actually do it yourself, to experience it, is the best learning ever, to really understand it so that I can help others and know exactly what you go through. Because I've had lots of ups and lots of successes, and then in myself, and lots of wobbles, because I'm going to places where I've never gone before in terms of my own beliefs and about what I can do in my own business and in my own career. So that for me has been huge. So I live by what I know now.
Yeah, I'm so with you. And I, as you know, having been on the courses, I am so passionate about the fact that I don't think anybody's got the right to go and do to someone else what they haven't experienced themselves, right? Yeah. And it does give you that authenticity, doesn't it? When you sit down with your coaching clients and talk about how you can help them change the way they think and how they can get out of their own way, and you can sit there and say, actually, that's what's happened for me too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, Jane, I can totally relate to what you were saying about that, more what I call traditional executive coaching. And yeah, as executive coaches, being able to help people, but there always being that frustration, because that's exactly how I felt. Like, I felt there was something missing.
Yeah.
Like you said, the short-term stuff, yeah, all right, but the long-term stuff, and particularly for someone like you that helps people with their careers and career progression, that long-term benefit is crucial, right? Because you're not just going to change your job for today, you're going to change it for the next 12 months, 18 months, or whatever. So could I get you, and I know this is a massive question, but can I get you to start to help our listeners get a little bit of an insight into what that really meant in practice for your clients? Like, when you started being able to help them with an NLP skill set, as well as what you already knew, like, what were the kinds of differences that was making for them?
Okay, so with the clients, you know, using an old model of just, let's say, the GROW model, which is fine, and we use that as well. But in between that, clients go back to who they are. So they need to really understand what drives them, what really motivates them, and to get their self-belief back, because a lot of the time it's all down to their confidence and what they really, really, truly believe. So I always start with looking at their values and looking at what is it that really, really motivates them. And to really create that sort of picture of who they are and what they represent and take it out into the future, because that is something that they very rarely think about or can actually see, because there's so many barriers of negative beliefs, emotional stuff holding them back. And I think that level of delving in and working to get rid of those limiting beliefs, to get hold of those emotions and turn them into something really different to what is stopping them, helps them to shift forwards. And of course, then we look at then what that looks for them and where they're going to go, which environment they want to work in. It might be in the same business. It might be that they're looking to move up, but they suffer from a lot of imposter syndrome or confidence issues around talking to more senior people, how to approach people with confidence in terms of their positioning in their own businesses, to position themselves for their next career jump. But also, there's a lot of people who perhaps are in a job at a really high level. They're professionals. They love what they've loved what they've done. They've invested a lot of time and effort into it, but have just come to the end of the road on what that means to them anymore. And so they want to shift out of that. And that is a hugely scary thing, because it's what you know is what you know, right? So we have to come right back to the beginning on who are you? What do you stand for? What's your passion? What's your purpose in all of this going forward? Because this is another chapter in your life and you're in control of it. And very often people don't feel in control. So that is where the crux of the coaching takes place, to ensure that people understand where they need to start from and where they need to end up at. So yeah, so it runs over sort of a 3-month process, I guess, so that we can really be quite intensely working with that person and make it happen.
And that is a very different take on career progression.
Yeah.
Than perhaps, you know, if I go back before my NLP training, yeah, right? So go back into my days as being an HR manager, where we used to do talent management. We used to do succession planning, where we would support people in the early part of their career, work out what kind of career they wanted. You know, and to be quite honest, back in those days, when I thought about maybe my own career progression, wanting to go up through HR, I only ever really considered what extra skills I needed. You know, when I wanted to, you know, because my ultimate career goal when I started out in HR, so remember, I started out as a grad, so 21, 22 years old. You know, my goal was always to be an HR director. And to me, I was like a very linear view on that. And it was like, right, so I need to get experience of presenting. I need experience of influencing people. But you know what? I don't think once did I ever stop to consider what was important to me in terms of cultures of organizations or my own values. I mean, if you'd said to me about values, I'd have been like, whatever. Now, obviously, clearly it's different now because we're NLP trained. But I think that's quite different. Do you find that with I know you work with ambitious professionals, you know, senior leaders and directors. So it's quite a breadth of people you work with. Do you find that in others? You know, in terms of when they come to you and say, Gret, Jane, you know, help me put together a career plan or strategy for my career. Do you find that? Am I unusual or is that what you see a lot of?
I think what happens, people chat to me on the phone and say what they want, and I'll say, right, this is how I do it, and it's very different to probably what you think it's going to be. And so when I explain it to them, they're like, oh, give it a go. And after the first session, they're almost sort of sat there sort of going, oh my goodness, what has just happened? And it's almost like breaking it down and taking it back to where it needs to be from the start about really, yeah, it's breaking for them in terms of transformation, because they've never really sat and thought about that. All they're thinking about is, well, what other job could I do? You know, I've got these skills. What network have I got? Well, and they'll end up going into something very similar to what they've done. And they're usually coming because they're not very happy in what they're doing, even though they might be making millions of pounds a month, but, you know, lots of money. It's not about the money. It's about the joy. It's about the passion and something sort of purposeful that people are really looking for. And this is happening a lot more now since COVID has hit us, because people are sitting at home and really, really thinking about, what do I really want in life? You know, what is important to me? Because obviously, you know, our lives are precious, and we've been hit big time with this, you know, sit at home. And so that is really shining the light to a lot of people about, what is it all about? Where do I want to go? And they have these whole blocks and fears that are stopping them from even just thinking about it. But the ones who do, you know, break that cycle are the ones who then just go, wow, yes, you know, I can go and do whatever I want, because I've got the confidence, I can learn the skills, I've got those threads of what I can do. And so it is very, very different in that respect.
So in your experience, because I know you've been doing this for a long time now, in your experience, putting technical skills to one side,
Yeah.
Right. About, you know, whether someone's technically able to do a job. So assuming that is present, you and I both know that a lot of people hold themselves back. They won't go for a promotion. They won't put themselves forward. So in your experience, what are the things that are generally holding people back?
Self-belief. Complete self-belief is a big thing for people, and what other people might think of them. Am I doing the right thing? Even to other family members, in that they're actually doing something, which is they're doing it for someone else and not for themselves. And, you know, sometimes they put money in as a, well, I can't move because I'm on a good job. I'm not going to get better. So all these little belief patterns that hold in their brains are so reinforced that they just will sit there and be miserable, basically.
But it's true, right? How many people, I mean, you and I collectively probably know thousands of people that are doing exactly that right now. And, you know, and I don't, as you know, this podcast goes out across 93 countries globally. We've had over 11,000 downloads. We've got quite a big followership of this podcast. And I just think it's important for people to know that if they're listening to what you're saying today, and for people to think, oh my goodness, I thought I was the only one. I thought everybody else had got all their stuff sorted. I thought I was the only one that didn't believe in myself. And actually to hear someone like you, that's such an expert in your field, sit there and say, do you know what? Most of the clients that I work with don't believe in themselves. Most of them are doing things for someone else. How many people do we know, probably collectively, that are what I call settling for it's all right, because either they're too scared to move, they're scared of the uncertainty, they're worried about letting everyone else down. You know, there's just so much of it, right?
And, you know, procrastination is a huge thing, isn't it? It just holds people in their place and they just stay where they are and get really, really miserable about it. And then do not do very well in the job they're in because they're miserable. So it's a bit of a sort of a cycle, really, that tends to happen with people. But, you know, and on the other hand, I get people who come to me who are like, right, I want out. I need to get out. I can't do this anymore. Business owners who are like, I'm going to sell my business and I'm going to set up something on my own, or I'm going to go and do something else, you know, can you help me? But what actually happens with them is that they're just not in the right mindset in their businesses, and they're just perhaps not managing how they need to, and they can't see it. And so changing around their own mindset around what their beliefs are around their team and around what they want out of the business can be absolutely life-changing for them. I've been working with a guy who was going to do that last year, and he was going to sell it. And since our coaching, he's now taken on another 5 people and has completely come away from the day stuff and has been much more strategic on what he loves to do, because he was so sucked into the day-to-day stuff. So although it's not career, well, it is career, but it's about how he's reframed everything in his head and understanding why his values are not aligned with his team and haven't been. And now we've sorted that out, and he's changed. And, well, he's been on the telly. He's now, you know, he's linking with London, with the ministers. He's, you know, top of it, because that was his thing, is what he loved. And he couldn't, because he was trying to manage a team and he wasn't the best person to manage them. It was like, leave them alone and put someone else in, really.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's fascinating, isn't it? Because, of course, you've been on telly yourself very recently here in the UK. You are very famous now. And I do want to see the TV. But coming back onto the point, I think that's a really great example. And I'd be really interested in your take on this. But we know from all the work that we've done, particularly we focus on the Master Practitioner course of patterns and how people's lives are cyclical and are patterns. And, you know, that example of a business owner who was going to sell his business and get shot of it, and then probably would have created another business and still had the same problem, because He's just replicating the same thing time and time again. Yeah. I'm guessing you see that in terms of the work you do, whether that's with ambitious professionals in jobs or business owners. I guess you see that quite a lot.
Oh, gosh, yes, definitely. And those patterns are just, you know, self-fulfilling things for keeping them where, keeping those people where they are. And, you know, what I learned off the masters a couple of weeks ago is about problems and how, you know, the problem isn't the real problem. And some fantastic techniques, which I've been using, of working around and breaking that problem, smashing the problem into bits, into something that they're not really sure that it was a problem anyway.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant when you can break the pattern down right, and then they can't run the old pattern. They then have to do something different.
And I did it with someone last week who was very anxious, an anxiety problem. And I just did one of the very simple exercises, and she's, well, I've got a testimonial to go out. You wouldn't believe the difference in her, because the problem was just smashed and the patterns were changed quite straight away. It was amazing.
How long did it take you to do that, out of interest?
We had two sessions, but it was done on the first session.
So are we talking, and in that particular technique that you used, how long did that take? 20 minutes, half an hour?
1 hour. Well, that particular technique wrapped into the whole session. The technique itself was 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah. So we're talking about a technique which you learned on the course that took 10 minutes. And in 10 minutes, you have completely changed that woman's outlook sufficiently that she's now not anxious about the thing that she was anxious about and has clearly, I guess, gone on to make different decisions, right?
Yeah, she's had panic attacks and everything. It's incredible. Wow. It really worked for her, you know, and it was like, I was thinking, my God, that's worked really well, that bit. I'm going to use this one again.
Yeah, isn't it? And then you get excited because you know the capability of what it's capable of. And
you get that look from them where they look at you as if to go, what have you just done? I don't know, I feel really different about this, and that problem isn't there. It's very bizarre, but that's why NLP is so special, because it just opens up something in that person's mind that they haven't accessed, and they're able to change those patterns very, very quickly.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So obviously you've been doing NLP for a while now, you know, and you've been working your way through all the courses and soon to be fully qualified, having done all of them. Yeah. You know, I saw a post that you put out today, obviously sharing we were going live today, and how you talked about how NLP had really helped you create something magical for your clients. Could I get you to explain a little bit more about what you mean by that?
I think it's magical for me.
Yeah.
Because the results are just amazing. And it's because, you know, for some people, having to talk through lots of detail and things that have happened to them in the past, and, you know, which is quite harsh for them and can be not very nice. And a lot of the NLP stuff that we do is there's not a lot of content in it, because we're working at the unconscious mind side. So for me, the magic lies in seeing that transformation right before my eyes. It's incredible to watch, and how people walk away just sort of almost a little bit sort of like, did that just happen? And then you'll get an email saying, you'll never guess what, I am doing this, this, this and this, and I feel so much better. And I've got a real clear path of where I want to go, you know. And so for me, previously doing coaching work, you had the actions to give them. You'd work through maybe reframing beliefs, but at the surface level, they'd go away and you sort of knew that, okay, a couple of them would do it and some wouldn't. Most of them wouldn't. And it wouldn't be a long-term thing. Now, with this, I know that it's full-time and it just lasts forever. And, you know, these new patterns are inbuilt and it just makes such a difference to people's lives. So I guess that's why it's magical.
I love it. I love it. I think you hit on another, I know we've talked a bit here already about beliefs and the impact of mindset and things like that. Yeah. I'm guessing, you know, like some of the delegates that come on our courses, I guess in your coaching business, you probably find people that come to you that just can't find clarity.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of people come to coaching when, you know, they're a bit described as being lost. You know, I know I don't want to do this for the rest of my career, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what my purpose is, or I can't seem to find clarity on anything. And, you know, I would describe it as, you know, on the practitioner course when you know, people come with like dirty glasses and they can't see the future. They can't see where they want to go until they've cleaned their glasses. Then they get clarity. Then they can find a purpose. Do you find that in the career coaching that you do, that you find you spend quite a lot of time helping people try and work that out, or for you is that exactly what your coaching is about, finding values, finding purpose, and then the job becomes clear? Is that how it works?
So it is, and you know, people, as you say before, have this sort of idea about career coaching about, right, well, we'll look at your skills, we'll look at your knowledge, we'll look at your whatever, and yeah,
let's
look at
TV.
Yeah,
let's find some jobs.
And, you know, that sort of bores me quite a lot because I know it doesn't work. It is all about the clarity is in, you know, going a little bit deeper and going back to the beginning. And it's a lot of soul searching, I guess, in terms of really working out what those values are. Because, you know, when I did my own values, what I thought were my top values, because we've got this in our heads, my values are this. But actually, when you go through it properly with the NLP model, they're not. It's like, right, okay, that really makes sense of why I'm feeling like I am and why this isn't aligned with who I am, you know, trying to be something that I'm not. And a lot of people have to go through that process to really understand what that means to them and to gain that clarity in essence. When they've got that clarity and we've looked at decisions which are stopping them at that unconscious level, it's like, bing, light bulb moment for them. And they actually then sort of know what they want to do. You know, there's a lot. It just opens it up to new possibilities of all those little things deep down they've always really wanted to do, but have never had the confidence to go and try it and to go and do it. And it tends to be the catapult for all of that stuff that enables them to go and do it. So, yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You know, I first and foremost are a trainer. I do some coaching these days, but I've never specialized in helping people with their career progression like you have. And it's great for me to listen and for me to be thinking about how you see this toolkit, you know, working and how it's helping your clients. You know, as I've said before on the podcast, one of the things I love about our community is, you know, I sit at the front of the room day after day after day, imparting knowledge, giving you skills, helping you learn how to do things. But what lights me up and excites me hugely is when I hear people like you take the toolkit and go, this is how I've used it, this is how I've helped people. Yeah. And everybody does that differently. You know, and I know values have always been important to your work and how you work. Yeah. And I think, as you said, NLP has only served to further support that and help you. And I think, you know, just for our listeners that are perhaps listening to this that maybe haven't done NLP training yet, you know, we spend quite a lot of time on our master practitioner program helping people understand what their values really are. You know, and values sit at the unconscious level. And as James just said, you know, people think they know what their values are. And 9 times out of 10, you might know 1 or 2 because they're fairly conscious. Most of them you don't. And until you go through a process like the NLP process that helps you root out the unconscious values, then it like when, like Jane just said, as soon as you're faced with your actual values on a flip chart in front of you and you look at them and go, do you know what? That explains everything. which means exactly where I am in my career, exactly why my business is the way my business is. And now I can be empowered to do something about it, you know, and with values being so important because they determine what's important to us. They therefore determine what we spend time on. They were therefore what motivate us. You know, if you're doing a job or running a business that doesn't align with your personal values, then you're going to get frustrated like the guy you talked about earlier, you know, and decisions have got to be made. But I think people trip themselves up a lot, don't they, with values, because they think, you know, but if you consciously ask me, what are my values? I'd say fairness, consistency, things like that. When I pull out my business values, do you think those words are even in the hierarchy? No. It's fascinating, isn't it? When you really start to get to the unconscious behavior, because the other thing I think, which is just worth teasing out, and you did say this, but again, just to reiterate for the benefit of the listeners, is NLP is A, content free, so you don't have to talk about loads of detail, but B, it works at the unconscious level, and our unconscious mind controls our behavior. So if you think about applying for a job, or setting up a business, or trying to decide what my next career is going to be, my behavior, i.e. whether I do or do not apply for a job, is driven by my unconscious mind. And if my unconscious mind is riddled with all these limiting beliefs and things like that, I'm not going to apply for the job. It's quite straightforward. You know, and I think that's why I think, you know, it, as you said right at the beginning of this interview about how frustrating executive coaching was when you were doing it on its own. But when you add in all of this talk, it just transforms coaching. It transforms the results. You know, and if I think about some of the career coaches that I've come across over the years, and this is one of the reasons why you and I had that conversation, I said, whatever you do, Jane, you're not a career coach. You know, because you don't do CVs. You're not interested in going, Laura, you want to be an HR director, let's go and find you some job adverts, some jobs to apply, let's do some interview coaching and, you know, help you with that. Of course, I know you would do that if your client needed it. But actually, you're more about putting a strategy together, like what job is going to fill you up? What's going to make you feel alive? You know, what do you want to do for the next 10 years? And to me, that's, as you've described, so much more meaning to people. And I think you're absolutely right. I think lockdown has really made people think about it, because it's, you know, when people have been furloughed and 80% of their wages, all of a sudden money doesn't become as important. What becomes important is how valued I feel, whether I feel like what I'm doing is purposeful. And I think you're right. I think it has made a lot of people stop and think, you know. Sadly, we've all known people that have unfortunately died of COVID. You know, that all gets us all thinking about our own mortality and, you know, and all of those things. And yeah, I think you're spot on.
Yeah. And, you know, and also, you know, unfortunately, people who've been made redundant, so they're feeling very much out of control of the situation. So there's, you know, there's a number of people there who are having the time at home to think about, what is it that I really want? What is it that really... Do I want to go back into what I was doing? You know, am I going to do a knee-jerk reaction and jump back into something? Well, yeah, maybe you need to short-term to get the money, but there's a lot more people soul-searching. And, you know, I love the holistic element around all of this. And, you know, my mission is to get corporate organizations much more into the mindset and the stuff behind it, that rather than just the process, because it's massively changing for them, for individuals.
So, Jane, in your experience, I think redundancy is a really good one. I think we should talk about it, because I think, you know, as you say, control. I mean, having been made redundant 3 times in my career, I mean, can't be made redundant now, I run the business, but, but 3 times I got made redundant in my HR career. And every single time it was terrifying, you know, because, all right, I think different people go through the change curve as we would know it at different rates. But it doesn't stop you going through the shock, oh my goodness. And as you say, I think, you know, I think it's, oh God, I'll probably get this wrong. I might have been Tony Robbins, but anyway, one of the big personal development gurus talks about the fact that actually people need certainty in their life. And some people need more of that than others. And other people need uncertainty, again, some more than others. And if someone is a person that needs high levels of certainty and can only tolerate low levels of uncertainty, that's going to be an issue. Now, even for me, I can tolerate quite high levels of uncertainty. I quite like an element of certainty. uncertainty too.
Yeah.
But even if you are used to uncertainty, when you get thrown into that situation where the control has been completely ripped out of your hands, because that's the difference, isn't it? You know, when I resign from a job, I'm in control because yeah. I've handed in my resignation and I've got a plan. Whereas when I've made redundant, I have absolutely zero control. Someone is rejecting me. Someone is saying, I don't want you anymore. Talk to us about what that's like and how you help people through that.
Yeah, so you know, very often people who are being put through redundancy take it very personally, and you know, which is because they've been their family. You know, we spend so much time in work, and the hours we work are mad in comparison to how much time we spend at home. So they are part of your family in a strange sort of way. So that emotion becomes bigger and bigger, and you know, anxiety can be a huge thing that stops people from even getting then a plan together of what to do and how to do it, because emotionally they're just in the wrong place. They make really bad decisions. They're not very effective in what they do. They don't believe that they can do anything because it's been knocked out of them, because suddenly this whole sort of thing of, well, you're not in our business anymore. So, this leads to even more uncertainty in their own minds. So, it's a really hard one for them to take on, and then sitting at home on their own or around not co-workers to sort of help them along, and looking at job after job after job and thinking, well, I can't do that, I want to do that, and then being knocked back because the sort of way they're approaching it is wrong, and probably going for the wrong things as well, because they haven't gone back to doing the work that they need to do to stop and reevaluate what do they really, really want. Because whatever they really want can happen, but they just have to step it back and just get out of that negative emotions and more into that informed positive state to be able to do that. So yeah, you know, unfortunately there's quite a lot of that happening at the moment, and there's a lot of support for people around. It's just, you know, it's a tough call for people. So that support is about taking it right back and unraveling that emotion from anxiety into confidence, basically, that they can do it, and the self-belief that they are worthy and there's a job out there. That, and what happens is people will then go and do something completely different and find, why did I ever do the job I was doing for the last 20 years? This is amazing. So sometimes, you know, if people are made redundant, well, a lot of the time, it's actually a blessing. It's an opportunity, a real opportunity for them to just stop and, you know, think about what it is they actually want to do. Very often it's something different and it's something a lot better, but they don't think they can do it. So that's where I can help them do that, is to reframe all of that for them. Well, they do it, but I just sit there and do the processes with them, which is great.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think, you know, if I think about people that I know that have been made redundant, you know, and you see it so much more readily now, don't you, that we all live on a social media world. You know, you can see and hear the panic in people's face. And I get it. Listen, I do get it. You know, people's livelihoods are at jeopardy. The sense of responsibility that people feel if they're the main breadwinner in their family, the rug gets pulled from beneath their feet. Like, I totally get that emotion.
Yeah.
But jumping from one thing straight into the next thing is not necessarily the right thing, you know. And I think, you know, it's that, you know, taking it as an opportunity to take a deep, deep breath and to sit and think, what do I really want, as opposed to what do I need to do? And, you know, and sometimes these processes, I mean, they don't take months, do they? And I think, you know, people think that, oh my goodness, I've been told I'm being made redundant in 30 days time, and then I'm going to get notice and a redundancy payment, right? So I should start searching for another job now, as opposed to going, actually, do you know what? What I need to do is take stock and talk to someone like you, Jane, that can actually help me think about what type of organization do I want to work in? What type of job do I want to do? What's going to serve me well? And use it as an opportunity to do something bigger and better. And if at the end of that, it's more of the same, then so be it.
But I think so when they go for jobs, they actually get them.
And do you see that in terms of the people that you work with?
Yeah. So, you know, when they're actually on their right path and they know exactly what they want to do, the strategy of getting in to do that and get the right role is 100%. And they go in with a different confidence, the way they speak, the way they deliver what they need to say is very different. So, yeah, that is huge.
Yeah. And you can tell, I mean, you and I have probably both sat the other side of the table too, interviewing people time and time again. And when people are anxious and when people are stressed, you can tell when a candidate is sat in front of you panicking. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so sad to see. I mean, the number of times I've interviewed people over the years when I was back in HR and I really felt for them. And, you know, sometimes the deciding factor between whether you give a job to person A and person B, all things being equal, technically, comes down to the person that you think is going to be the best fit for your organization, who's going to be able to do the job well enough. And that comes down to things like confidence and self-belief and all things, right? I mean, I think people forget that when they're job hunting, that, you know, it isn't just down to skill, and people get upset. Yeah. And I get it. Listen, I've been that side of the table too. When you get told you're not right for that job, and, you know, the employer turns around and says to you, you know, well, you weren't the right fit, or, you know, the other candidate performed better on the day. I mean, that's heartbreaking for you and I to sit here and know that happens to people, when we know that if they talk to someone like you, that doesn't need to be the case.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you see, I've seen a lot of people applying for job after job after job after job and saying, I'm doing 8 applications a day, you know, fear-based, trying to, you know, I've seen it on LinkedIn of like, I'm doing this, I'm doing, you know, and I'm just getting nowhere. And I just sit there and I think, well, perhaps you just need to step back a minute, because whatever your strategy is wrong, you know. Apply
it's not for working, is it?
Right for you, that you really would love to do. Do the work behind that to get and talk to the right people and build that profile is much more use of time than filling in application after application, because it only serves back to the self-belief that you're not going to get the job. Yeah. You know, so it's just this reinforcing this whole thing of, well, I'm never going to get the job. And it continues until, unfortunately, people can get so anxious that things just stop. And, you know, we don't want that to happen. It's much more about just put the brakes on and really think about it.
It's such sound advice. So, and I know, you know, from all the testimony, and if you don't follow Jane on social media, you need to go and follow on social media. We'll get you all her social media details in a bit. But you've only got to look at the testimonials, Jane, that you get off your clients to be able to see the difference that you make for them. You know, when they are getting the jobs that they want, and they're the jobs they want, not just any old job to pay the bills. It's the jobs they want. Are there any, I mean, probably this is the difficult question, but are there any that really stand out for you? And I appreciate you might not have permission to name them, but are there any kind of people that you've worked with in the past that you just, the stand out people that you've really helped?
Oh gosh, I mean, there's quite a lot.
I know, there's loads of them, I know.
One of my favourite clients, and, you know, she came to me, she was worked in the aviation industry, a very, very intelligent lady, very intellectual, an engineer, so very black and white and knew her stuff, but was just very, very low in what she knew there was something else that her purpose in life, basically. And so we worked quite a lot with her, because she could never see her future. Her future was always behind her.
Oh,
and
really?
So we had to sort of bring that round. So using that process, the NLP technique of timeline therapy, I worked with her through doing some timeline, and it opened up a mass of sort of changing the way the patterns in her brain, how it was all working for her. So she now is a commercial project manager in a very, very different organization, which suits her down to the ground. She's bought her own house, which she couldn't even say boo to a goose before and would never have that confidence to do it. So it's not only changed what she's done in her role, which where she's very happy doing what she's doing now and feel and learning lots of new things, because she was going for this job going, but I don't have the experience. And I go, but you can have go, you know. And it was like, you've got the confidence now, so we can work, you know, work around this, take that out. And so she went and she got the job, and she's like, I can't believe I've got this job. So I was like, great. Next thing, I've bought a house, Jane. Right, okay. Next thing, I've got engaged. And this whole world just opened for her. So it was, for me, it was not just about the career that was changed, but it changed the whole pattern of her behavior to see a future that was very different to what was before.
Wow. So
I think she's fantastic. And, you know, she's going to do even better, I'm sure, in her lifetime. But she was so stuck. I mean, you know, she came to me, just sat there and cried for an hour for the first session. And she'd been in this space for a good year, not able to get out. So, yeah. So I think, you know, that's one of my, probably my little proudest moments, to see that change happen for her, which is really, really good. Really good.
That's just amazing. Yeah. Amazing. To think, like you say, to think not only have you helped her now find a job that she loves and that she's great at and all of those things, but also, like you say, to think of all those other additional benefits, which were never part of your intended, you know, never planned to help her get engaged or buy a house. But,
that's the process, isn't it? That's what happens with NLP, because you're changing something at that unconscious level, which opens up these huge opportunities which flood out to every part of your life. It's not just about career, it's everything, which just opens the doors for opportunity, because they can see it. It's there, it's shiny, it's new.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. I do this on every podcast and I sit and I get so engrossed and I look at the time and go, oh my goodness, we've been here for ages. But oh my goodness, James, it's just amazing. And I'm so proud of you and how you've taken the toolkit and used it. And to hear that, I mean, so many people you've told me about now and of how you've helped them and made a difference. Like I said, I'm not taking away anything from what you already did. You were already amazing. But to add in this extra toolkit just seems to have really, like you described, sprinkled magic on the top of what you were already doing. And it's just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Jane, I know obviously you're coming towards the end of your NLP training and you know, you've got one more week to go.
Yeah, it's been a lot of work.
Yeah, right.
Self-reflection to the 100th degree, you know, it's just sort of like, oh my Lord, but what a great course. Like, it's best, again, and best personal development I could ever imagine in my whole lifetime.
Thank you. No, I know it is, and I love training it, and I love what it does for people. And you know, and before we came on air today, we were, you know, talking about the, you know, the Jane that I very first met that wouldn't have gone on camera, let alone done a live video with me, you know. And here we are chatting away. And we're here, right? I mean, it's phenomenal what it's done for you. I'm just interested, just to, obviously, it's been great talking about how you help other people, but just before we kind of wrap up, I'm just curious as to the difference that NLP has made to you as a small business owner. So if we take the coaching out to one side and just, you know, because you have had your own business now for what, 18 odd years, you know, and if someone was listening to this today, thinking about what NLP could do for them as a small business owner coming on our courses, you know, what's your take on the courses and the community that we have and how it's helped you as a small business owner?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I didn't expect, I thought it was just going to be another course. You know, well, another blooming course, here we go, do the course, get out and leave. But sort of the NLP community, just as a starting point, is just phenomenal, because obviously we're all like-minded people, we support each other. And that has been, I have to say, a bit of my lifeline for you know, throughout lockdown, where we've all supported each other and helped each other through it. So that in itself has been amazing. The courses then, I mean, I did the how to do sales, to close a sale.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
You will come back. So I was like, no, I'm not paying that. I'm not doing that. I'm not, you know, I can do sales. But I admit I did the course and then managed to convert most of my inquiries now into good clients. So thank you, Laura.
I remember the conversation, like, no, I'm not doing the sales course. I don't need the sales course, Laura. I really, really don't feel like it's going to add lots of value. And I was like, seriously, I really think you should do it. And then when you did the course, and then the week after the course, you're like, I've already made my money back. And I was like, see, this is what I was talking about.
It's, you know, for any sort of business owner, if they were thinking of doing it, there's so many spin-offs from the courses as well that have been super helpful in terms of the mastermind stuff that we're doing now, our group that is really, really sort of propelling the business now to the next level in terms of how to do videos and in all the techie stuff that I hate. But I'm coming around to that because, you know, it's all pretty good. And what else? Just the whole sort of basis of the programs that fit so nicely in for business owners and fresh business owners, because, you know, as I say, I've had my business for quite a while, but it's actually all of the stuff that you've been able to do has given a new fresh look on it. So that has been amazing to help sort of like relook at the business, relook at the vision of what I want out of it, and have that support throughout that. So the course never ends, basically. That's what I'm saying. It's just forever going on.
She's forever there.
Yes, she's on.
You go on Facebook and there's Laura. You go on WhatsApp, there's Laura.
Problems going on or issues where you're having a bit of a meltdown over something, it's like, you know, go on the group, the NLP community, somewhere. There's some fantastic experts within your community, isn't there? Gosh, you know, I'm amazed at the people who are coming through this program, who have taken it on themselves to learn more. You know, they're top in the fields in a lot of places, in hospitals, consultants, lots of different people. And it just never ends, really.
It's got an amazing community.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that is fantastic. And, you know, don't think you're going on a program because it's just a course, because it's not. That's my advice.
No, it's a little bit like we always say, people arrive as customers and leave as friends. You know, we are very, very lucky.
Yeah.
We've got an awesome community. We have got an awesome community. And you're, of course, part of that. So thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. It's been, it's still going. It's not ending. I've got big plans for next year.
I can't wait. 2021 is going to, like, be your year. It's going to be awesome. Jane, quick fire question then. I don't know if you're expecting this, but before we finish, I'm going to fire some quick fire questions. Our regular listeners will know that we always finish the episodes with quick fire questions. And very rarely are the guests ever prepared. So who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes? But let's give it a whirl, Jane, right? Jane, do you have a favourite quote?
Just do it.
I love it. I love it.
I was going to put swear words in there, but I thought about it not.
No, please don't, because then I've got to bleep them out. What one word would you use to describe our courses?
Magical.
I'll take that. Thank you very much. Cool. So, do you have a favourite word?
Favourite word?
She's on the spot. I'm going to do the countdown time. Boom. No, okay, fine. That's okay. If you could be any age, what would you be and why?
Oh, now 50. I'm 50. How old am I? 53. And I know what I want. I know where I want to go. And why would I want to change that?
I love it. Well, Jane, thank you so much, because I know you're super busy, signed up another 8 clients in the last week, and I know how busy you are these days. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Say again?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you. So, Jane, if people have been listening to the podcast today and they'd like to get in touch with you, what is the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Okay, so my email address, I'll give you the website first. So it's www.janebaker-coaching.com. And the email is jane@janebaker-coaching.com. And so, you know, go on there and drop me a line and let's chat. I'm, you know, looking forward to speaking to some people who need some help.
I love it. I love it. And if people want to follow you on social media, Jane, where's the best place to follow you?
I'm on LinkedIn. So if you just go onto LinkedIn and look for Jane Baker, you will find me on there. I don't know the link offhand, to be honest.
That's okay. No, that's fine. Well, people know what you look like if they watched it live. If not, they can go and check my social media page out to find what you look like. So amazing. Well, you've given so many pearls of wisdom today. So thank you again for doing that. So thank you all as well to our listeners for tuning in. We very much appreciate you being part of our podcast community. If you're not already in our Facebook community for the podcast, please go and check it out. NLP Talks Podcast Community on Facebook. It's where we do all the pre-releases. So if you've watched this live today, you watched the pre-release. If you're listening to it on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, you're listening to the actual release. And if anybody is interested in finding out more about our courses, then please go on over to our website, which is www.unleashyourpotential.org.uk/brochure, and you will be able to find out more about our courses. Now, in addition, a special bonus for everybody listening this for this episode, we also have some free training. If you would like to dip your toe into the world of NLP and you'd like some free NLP training, then also head on over to our website, unleashyourpotential.org.uk/free. And you can go and watch some training videos from me talking about confidence, imposter syndrome, motivation, procrastination, and other things aside. So go and check out our website, unleashyourpotential.org.uk. Jane, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Okay.
And we'll see you on the next episode.